What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Who has now firmly been lodged as of the last episode as the other co-host of the pop.
Wait, how? What?
Well, because we had special guests.
No, we had special hosts.
We had special guests.
We had...
Because they were only here once. That's what guests are.
I think they helped host the show.
I don't even think they talked for the first 3 minutes.
It was such... Okay, so if you didn't catch last week's episode where we had the entire GMA, friends John and Mike also tuned in.
The popcorn Christmas special, as it were.
It was really, really, really fun and special to get to do that episode with those guys because they are people who, every time we're around each other, I feel like they, like, we all fire each other up in, like, different ways.
Yeah.
There's a really good interconnectedness with the chemistry and how we all, like, balance each other a little bit. And so it was so fun to have them on, but it was also spectacular to watch their, like, to watch them react to us going into, like, podcast mode.
Oh, I know. It was very weird because the only people who were ever in the room when we're recording the pop or Super Carlin Brothers is pretty much, us.
Each other.
Maybe occasionally we'll have, like, a guest in there who's just viewing it for the sake of it, or Tyler's in there for the Jay vs. Benz and stuff.
Right, yep.
But, yeah, I guess there's like, once you press the record button, there is like a little I don't really notice it as much anymore, but I guess there's like a switch that flips in your brain and it's like, let's go. All right. Hey.
Right. Like, we're in host mode all of a sudden. The tone of my voice changed.
I feel like it would be just the same. Like, if all of a sudden, you know, all of us put out. Yeah. If like the four of us had been playing a Pictionary or something and people had to sketch things and all of a sudden you looked up and, you know, John was sketching these like beautiful homes or something, you'd be like, wait a minute.
John being like a professional architect.
John, yeah, I guess you don't know, is a professional architect. So he's very good at drawing, but like you might not know that just hanging out with him.
Oh, this is, I love it. It's this idea of, I always call it practiced hands. Like when you're watching somebody who is like very skilled at a specific thing. So Mike as well he's like been a chef in a kitchen, like a kitchen for 10, 12 years now. And if you're like chopping vegetables next to him, it is like a spectrum.
Right. I don't really feel like I'm helping.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and it's so funny, especially with that particular profession, because like, you know, all people have to eat at all times. Like, I don't have to draw like pictures of buildings. So like my level of expectation for my own ability to draw a structural detailed drawing of a skyscraper is none. I have no expectation of my ability to do that, but like, which would be like John's realm. But then in Mike's realm, like, you know, I cook dinner every night.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like I don't spend time cooking myself and don't have like some of my own.
This is just like the guy who mows my yard, Ben. It's just like, yeah, you mow your yard every week. And at this point, you've probably done it 200, maybe 300 times.
Yeah.
You're like, I've done this a lot.
Right.
It is part of my weekly routine. I am great at it. But it's like, it turns out there is so much room for improvement.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you cook every day. Great. I cook for 8 hours every day.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you cook 7 meals a week. That's fantastic. I cooked 400 last week.
It's exactly.
Like, yeah, like they're outpacing you at such a rate.
Right.
You can't even, it's like hard to fathom.
It is hard to fathom. Yeah. Because you're exactly right. Yeah. It's like, I cooked 400 meals last week. You cooked 7.
Yeah.
It's like you're basically saying like over the course of, yeah, like what would even the math be there? I don't know, like a couple of months.
Yeah.
You're not even talking about doing as much as one person did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're going to like outpace you in like, yeah, a couple months for like your next couple years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's wildly different, but it was really cool, especially because with what we do, I was actually talking to Alice about this exact thing, is that you and I started our Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel back in 2012.
Yeah.
And it was something that like I've always had this, like, definitely you had a greater grip on it right out of the gate than I did, because you had had a bit of personally sought out experience in the field of YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was consuming a lot more YouTube just like naturally, like as you know, just a genuine fan.
right.
of the medium. So I was just watching, you know, I was turning away from some conventional television and just like focusing my attention on YouTube just because I enjoyed it. And then, yeah, I had also had about, you know, like probably like 50 videos worth of experience just making like my Jonkerlin channel from way back in the day.
Right, right. Yeah. And we talked about this, I can't even remember when. Oh, we were doing the book club as we were talking about The Name of the Wind, which was a separate recorded thing that probably the folks here wouldn't have listened to. But I was talking about how, like, if I was cast to play the character of Quoth from The Name of the Wind, then you would be like, well, Ben, you don't know how to play the lute. And it's like for me, it's like if somebody was going to give me that opportunity, I would put all of my grit and determination into learning how to play it.
Right.
Like all of the motivation that I would need to justify putting in that type of energy would have the full weight of it behind me, and I would be like, let's go. Like, I am going to breakfast, lunch, dinner, like any available moment, as long as my fingers aren't bleeding, mm-hmm. I will spend that time learning to play the lute if it means I get to play a character that I love. You know, like, to me, that's like where it all comes out. Like, that's why motivation is so important in life, is because I've never taken the time to properly learn an instrument, but I also know with the right motivation, there's like, I would go so hard at it.
Right.
And so I think apply that to the early YouTube days. That's why I brought that up. Like, I was not heavily motivated to even be good at YouTube. Like, it was literally a means to an ends for me. It was like, I need a roommate. This is the conditions of the deal. Like, I'm doing this, and it's like the amount of effort and motivation that I have behind me at that point in time was just enough to where I am not completely embarrassing myself.
Right.
Which I have to admit was kind of a weird line, because I was completely embarrassing myself even trying my hardest, but I didn't have like a big vision for like how I would be trying to execute it or what it would look like to be doing it well. It was just sort of like, it was a weird middle ground of, this is something I don't want to embarrass myself doing, but also I'm not that motivated to do it. And where does it land?
Right.
So,
you know, you can't, if you're, everything comes back to mowing lawns, you know, like if you're mowing someone else's lawns, just cause it's like a paycheck.
Right.
You know, it's like you're probably not that motivated to be good at it.
Sure.
If it's just like, you know, I'm just like 17 and I need some spending money to go to the movies or the 7-Eleven or whatever.
Right.
You know, but certainly like you're probably not out there studying mowers or, you know, grass or anything.
I was going to say that'd be the big one. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, what's your blade spinning out? What are the RPMs, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like not of concern to you, but certainly you need to at least not leave patches of unmown grass.
Sure.
You know, like, or the person whose lawn it is going to be like, well, get back out there or I'm not coming, you know.
You didn't exactly finish the job by leaving patches of grass. So in the same way with my early YouTube videos, it wasn't like I was like leaving, you know, like in between takes, like me looking down at my script in front of me, just like sort of mouthing along with the words like, okay, in the back of camera. Yeah. Like, you know, it was enough to say I finished mowing the lawn, but definitely not enough to where I'd stand back and put my hands on my hips and be like, now that's a lawn.
I'm entering in the little whinging lawn care competition. Right.
Competition. Like, I'm thinking about getting like an enclosed trailer with a wrap on it, you know, with like grass images on there, you know, like that's the big league. That's big league grass. Big grass.
Which of course needs to be cut.
Right. Yeah. You want small grass.
You want small grass.
Small, healthy grass. All of this to say, though, that we were talking about practice hands. We were talking about like building a skill, but like we started, and I would say I started from about as zero as you possibly could, but we've always been effectively, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, we've had brands who have been paying us before, or like deadlines, expectations and stuff that were external. But for the most part, we are our own bosses, which can have all of the perks in the world. But it also comes with this like weird thing where I don't have like a supervisor who's like, wow, like you're really moving up in the ranks.
Right.
Or like your skills have developed such that we need to promote you to like the next level of host or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, since 2012, we've had, you know, 8 years of doing this particular job where, of course, our skills got better because we were spending tons and tons of time doing it.
Yeah.
But there was rarely, starkly, a moment where you actually got to like see that growth of skill reflected in the face of your friends in the way that I felt like I saw it in recording the podcast with John and Mike.
Right.
Where like all of a sudden I felt like they were seeing us do something where it's like, whoa, okay, like they, not even to say that we're like, you know, the world's greatest or anything like that, but we have gotten good enough to where it is apparently two of our closest friends, like, noticeable and maybe somewhat remarkable.
Right, like they were like witnessing us like at our trade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was just like, it felt really good. I think it made me feel very positive about where we've come.
I agree. And it's like, I think what, you know, when you make like online content and stuff, there's, you know, you can put a lot of work into it. And at the end of the day, you know, you upload it to YouTube, or we upload it to, you know, wherever we upload the podcast to, it goes out, you know, everywhere. But you're not left with something you can like physically handle or look at. Like you could look at the waveforms or whatever, or like your big timeline ribbon in the computer.
Right.
But you know, you write it and you shoot it and you put it out there, but there's nothing you can like see or like, you know, physically handle. Like if you're
it's not cooking, tangible. Yeah.
You know, if you mow the grass, you can look back and see all that grass is shorter. If you cook a meal and you do that every night, like you can literally taste your skill improving, or you can hold up a drawing of a house and say like, oh, look at that former me drawing of a house. Not as good.
Right.
You know, like there's like tangible things you can like hold, and like there's not nothing for YouTube. Obviously there's like view counts and comments and all those things,
right?
But you don't get, it's YouTube's so weird because it's like a form of entertainment where you just don't get to see the reaction of the audience.
It's
very
true.
Much and it's like, it's sometimes it's weird sometimes how you like separate the people from the number behind it. It's like, oh, that got like, oh, this many views. Like it can feel like that maybe that didn't get a ton of views, but or maybe they got a ton of views, but it's hard to realize like, okay, how many people actually saw this?
Right.
You know, so like early on, I think the first time we ever got a video that was like 80,000 views or something, like that's about the capacity of Lane Stadium.
That's exactly what
Blacksburg.
I was thinking about.
And
yes.
I was like,
where
okay.
the Virginia Tech Hokies play.
Yeah, that's where the Virginia Tech Hokies play football at Lane Stadium. Go Hokies. And it was like, okay. So if you sold out this entire stadium, like capacity, that's how many people, like basically, like you could play this on the Jumbotron and that many people saw the video.
Right, like that many people spent 15 minutes
right.
like at halftime watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you were center stage in that huge like place.
Right.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. Like it's one of those things where it's easy to become very disconnected from what those numbers are, what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, how and when that gets to be like the measure of success that it is. Because I would say similarly, and I'm sure you remember this, but there was a day that we were recording a video about Thor's new eye.
I do remember this. Yeah.
It was after Infinity War came out, before Avengers Endgame came out.
The Infinity War, like it had just come out on like, I think like on DVD.
On digital,
like home
or
release
Blu-ray
digital.
Download.
Yeah.
And so we had all like, of course, it was like, oh, it's available. Like, let's go home and like watch it again. And so we were making like this myriad of new theories about just the Avengers verse, basically the MCU. And
yeah, that's what it's called.
That's what it's called. Yeah. I was like, that doesn't sound right. I've never used that word before.
The Iron Man verse. You know.
Oh, that could work too, though. Yeah. I like that. The Iron Man verse. Tony Stark started it all. But I remember, you know, you have this like Rocket Raccoon gives Thor this like eye that he found, and there's like this whole thing behind it. And of course, like we want to like place a measure of importance to that eye. And so like we're sort of like digging into it and like explaining our theory about its origins and like what it might mean and what it could do. And maybe it's related to like Heimdall's ability to like see everything.
Yeah,
and maybe
like that's how they're going to find Thanos. Like, oh, he got a new eye. That eye is going to grant him whatever power.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I remember I was like we were shooting the video and I was like looking at you, the camera, and being like, this sucks. This is like the worst video I've ever hosted. I'm like, this is such a dumb idea. I don't know why we're doing it. And it was like, dude, and of course, like we're very strict about our deadlines. So it's like Tuesday, Thursday, we upload no matter what. And I think that we were kind of like, it was like, well, we're here, you know, we're in the chair. We don't have time to like rewrite a new script. Like we got to do this.
Right, like it's Thursday.
Right. And the video is going to be up tonight. And so I remember just sitting there like, and I mean, I was like, my insides were being like ripped apart. Like it felt like I had like molten lead sitting in like the bottom of my stomach. I'm like, this is, I can't believe I'm putting this on the internet. We're going to lose like all credibility. This is it's just not a good video. And I remember like, we literally went out, we finished recording it. We were, you know, it was working on the edit, and I was like, I'm going to rewrite the whole script. And so like, I'm like sitting there, like literally feverishly write, like hammering away on like a new script that never saw the light of day or even was completed. And finally, it was like, I kind of reached that point where it was like, fine, like, we'll just upload it. It'll be like, whatever. Maybe people will forget. Maybe they won't pay
attention.
It was
so weird because even while you were recording, I remember seeing this like panic stricken look on your face, like, I don't know if this is any good. And it'd be like, I was looking, I was like, man, this is fine. This is just like all of our other videos.
It's like it's what we do. Yeah.
Maybe
it's not right, but that's okay. We're not always right.
Right. You know, it's all theories. And then our editor looked up and you were like frantically typing away because, you know, he's thinking to himself, am I going to have to start over in another hour?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I remember him turning around. He's like, this makes sense. This is good. Like, this is plausible.
Right.
And he's like, and you were just like, fine, surrender. And then like the next day it was like one of the most gangbuster videos we've ever done.
Yeah. It was like on the top, it was at least top 10 on the trending page on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. But that's what I'm talking about. Like maybe like there's a little bit of something to be said for like the, like, you know, the bigger the idea, the more ambitious the idea, the harder it can fall if it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be like, you know, Dudley Dursley is secretly a wizard. And it's like, if you found a way to prove that, then holy butts.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, it feels a little bit like, where are you going with that?
Right.
Where are you going with that?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, we've talked about before on the pop, a video we made earlier last year, as it were, said, Happy New Year's, everyone. It's 2021.
Okay, can we just, I know you have something where you want to go with that, but like we are actually technically recording this still inside of the year of 2020.
Right.
But like
before Christmas.
But like right now, I feel like we are like somehow in a secret portal passageway into 2021.
Yeah.
You know what? Gotta tell you, feels good.
It feels good to be in, we in the physical world right now are sitting in 2020, but we are speaking in 2021.
No one will hear these words until 2021.
Except Ethan and Jordan.
Except for Ethan and Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will hear it ahead of time. But when you are hearing this, listener, it is 2021. Amazing. It feels good to be coming at you from 2021. 2020 is over.
We did it.
We did it.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Honestly, I have to tell you, you did great.
You did.
It was a tough year.
No one saw it coming.
You were faced with a lot, but I am truly and legitimately proud of you for getting through it.
We made it.
So give yourself a high five and just know that there's a little extra Buzzy B Ben action inside of that high five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You should get jazzed about that high five too.
While
you're there.
Whatever. It's more of a buzzing type of thing than it is a jazzing type of thing. I think it is. Wow. I think it is. Anyway, you had somewhere you were going.
Similarly, talking about like, you know, putting stuff out there that might seem like outlandish or didn't catch on or something. We've talked before on the pop how we made a video about The Mandalorian for season 2.
Yes.
About whether or not a character from the extended Star Wars universe known as Grand Admiral Thrawn would be entering the fray.
Yes.
Would be entering the fray. Largely this theory was based on me learning that the character Ahsoka Tano would be in season 2 and, you know, knowing that the Mandalorian was trying to find a Jedi and knowing what Ahsoka was doing at the end of Rebels or whatever.
Sure.
So
you're piecing together like a lot of the peripherals, like you as a fan of the Star Wars universe go beyond watching like the main episodes. You watch Rebels, you watch Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You've read the books.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a bit more knowledge about the other workings of the world.
And I mean, I had been working on this one for like almost a year from the moment I found out Ahsoka was going to be in season 2. Like I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my due diligence here. I'm going to read all the Thrawn books, make sure. I don't want to like put this out there if it turns out the books deal with where he went or whatever. I did that. I read 4 books, got to the end of it when we like patiently waited until it was like close to the premiere of Mandalorian and we put it out. And like, it was just not one of the most viewed videos that we had. And I was like, oh, what a bummer. Cause I was so sure it was right. And I mean, let's just fast forward to later in the season when indeed Ahsoka shows up and spoilers incoming. If you haven't seen Mando season 2 yet at this point, I mean, come on. it turns out who she's hunting down is Grand Admiral Thrawn. And I remember just this like joyous, oh my gosh.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes.
It was. Yeah. That was such a fun day.
It was a huge moment.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting too, because we've got to have through our kind of career of doing this sort of YouTube theorizing, you know, of course we make 104 episodes per year.
Yeah.
And we've only had like a small handful of these like big time, like called it moments.
Right.
Like we knew, not knew, but we correctly predicted that like Nagini was going to be in the Fantastic Beasts movies.
As a woman. Yeah.
And you know, like, so that was like one of like the big moments. And like, we like made and sold t-shirts that had like, you know, a half woman, half snake face on it. And you know, it was like our called it t-shirt for that. And those historically, they've always been like rather big videos because people really like bit on the idea. Like,
right.
Whoa, what if, how cool would that be?
Right.
This one was kind of interesting because it was sort of like the back wave of people like being excited about it didn't really happen until after the fact. Like, people weren't like, oh man, I hope Thrawn is coming. But then like once we were correct and they had seen the video, they were like, whoa, they were right.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. So it was a weird one because like I knew even as I was making the video, I was like, I just like Thrawn is not in the main Star Wars. Like the lay Star Wars fan does not know that much about Thrawn.
Right.
Like, you put him in the thumbnail, he looks cool, but you're just gonna like be, I don't know who that is, or I've seen him, but this feels like too out there for me.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it didn't. The season did not end with like a close up of Thrawn's face as I predicted. However, I think it turns out that whole setup, I think, is probably going to be the plot for the Ahsoka show, which is coming out.
Also coming out.
I don't know if Thrawn will be coming to the Mandalorian anymore, but for sure, I think that'll be the plot for Ahsoka.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And her standalone show. Either way, is like, we got that out there. So that's always fun. It's great when you call one just right.
Yes.
Because like, we do so many theories and they're not really about predicting the future as much as they are just like, what if in the world, like, is there enough evidence to support this? We'll never know for sure.
We'll never know for sure. Yeah. Like, chances are you won't have the creator come through and like confirm this idea. But
right.
I feel like that has started to become like the way that we write a lot of these videos is you're working to find a way to add, like, it's not quite fan fiction because it's working with all of the current rules of the lore of the world.
Yeah.
And so you're working within what's already there, but it's almost like, okay, what if this like Pierce Polkus is like Dudley Dursley's best friend as a child. He's the one who goes to like the zoo with Harry and company. And so like, we came up with this like theory that, or presented a theory that Pierce was Peter Pettigrew's son.
Right.
And it's a very fun episode if you haven't seen it, because it's the one where you sort of like Hamilton-esque.
Oh yeah. Like a rap delivery.
That
was a very fun one to write.
It was. I was blown away by what you came up with. I was like, oh my gosh, you are going to put on such great Easter egg hunts for your kid someday. As a callback to our dad, what he used to do for our Easter egg hunts was he would have all these like rhyming clues that were hidden, like vastly spread apart, like across our
around
home,
the house and or neighborhood.
Yeah. And they were always rhyming and really fun. As soon as you wrote that video, I was like, oh, your dad level skills just like shot up even further.
That's right. Except they have to rap them like.
Exactly. Like, yeah. They're going to do it. They should do it the right way.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, so the whole reason I bring up the Pierce Polkus theory is because it's like it doesn't actually affect anything. Like, it doesn't stop anything that is currently true from being true. It's just like, what if you know, like, and it's like, that could work. I could see that, you know, and that makes sense.
There's nothing disproving it, and there's at least, you know, these six things that suggest it's possible.
Right.
And it's like, is that it? Like, if one of these things probably wasn't enough, but the fact that there's this many things that could point to this thing.
Right.
Maybe.
We're there.
Maybe.
Ish. Yeah. Just want to think about.
Ish.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do. There you go. There's a theory. Ben, as it is New Year's, do you have, since we're approaching New Year's, I feel like so often I get to New Year's Day and people are like, do you have any resolutions? And it's like, oh, let me think about it right now. Let me set a goal so I can answer this question.
Right. I know. You're right. That's exactly how it goes. It's like, I feel like I need an answer to this. Like, it would be good to improve myself coming into this new year.
Right.
So yes, major life change. Thinking about it right now. Done. Here it is.
Yeah.
I am going to...
Yeah, I'm going to read 52 books this year. I decided in the last half second it took me to not make a social faux pas and not have an answer to your question.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I just committed to one book a week. No big deal. It'll be easy. How hard could it be?
It'll be easy.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Especially when our current favorite books take four freaking ever to read.
Oh, man. I am presently in the middle of The Wise Man's Fear, which is the second book in the Kingkiller Chronicles.
Yeah.
For the third time.
Ethan, our editor, actually very lovingly sent me a message, I think, after our episode a couple of weeks ago that was like, wait, you guys are reading Kingkiller Chronicles? And I was like, yeah, man, we're loving it. And he's like, yeah, I know, you bring it up like every episode. And I was like, oh no, our guys,
your resolution, let me tell you, your resolution, if you like so many, didn't put any thought into it ahead of time. I'll give you the resolution right now.
Let's hear it right now.
I'm going to read the first two books in the Kingkiller series this year. There, you can have that one, listener.
You can have it for free.
Yeah.
For free.
That's you. And you know what?
It's awful not that generous it's, of you, bro.
You're welcome. And it's great because it's very achievable. It's but two books.
But two
over
books.
The course of 52 weeks. You have all year. Just two books. No big.
Right.
No
right.
big whoop.
If you listen to it, it's a mere 75 hours.
It's not, but hey, you know what? That's at like normal speed. You got to kick it. You listen to like double speed, right?
I listen to double speed.
I listen to like 1.3 speed on Audible.
How embarrassing.
I know. I used to listen to everything at one time speed, and I had this very like elitist attitude about it. Like, this is how the performer, I would have felt bad about, like, the reason I wouldn't listen to it at a faster speed because I would have felt bad that someone really put in a solid effort to present it in a specific way, and I was then just like jet skiing through it.
I love all of the different ways in which people can come up with as like explanations as to why something that you're already enjoying, minding your own business, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, right.
It's like if somebody is enjoying something, that's enough. That's it.
Ben, I'm so glad you brought that exact point up, because as we're talking about resolutions or whatever, I don't like resolution as a, like, this is, I don't know.
You like revolution better. New Year's revolution.
My New Year's revolution.
What will it be?
That's right. Rise up. No. We've probably talked before about how I am a subscriber to the YouTube channel CGP Grey.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. You've heard of him?
Yeah,
probably. He's a good one.
He's great.
He's a good one. He's a good one. For sure. And I like a lot of his approaches to things. And he has specifically one about New Year's resolutions and how they're stupid. And like, his approach is more of what he calls like seasons or themes.
Okay.
And it's just like, this is not necessarily your resolution. Like, you have to read 52 books. It's just like the theme is just reading.
Right.
Right. And it's just like, if you're going to set like such a hard, fast, specific goal, that's for like a whole year. That's a really long time.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah. It's very much setting you up for failure. And as soon as you fail, then you're just off the wagon altogether.
Right.
So the point wouldn't even be like that one doesn't have to happen at New Year's or anything specifically. Sure. And it doesn't have to be for a year. Just largely the suggestion is to go for like a month or a season. That's like a very manageable amount of time.
Sure.
And just like say, okay, from January to March, I just want to try and read more.
Right.
And it's just like, okay. That's good. That's measurable. You can get to the end of March and be like, hey, I did read more.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's the exact advice. I would say, without doubt, the number one most common question that you get when you do what we do for a living is like, oh, do you have any advice for a YouTuber starting out? And it's so tricky because especially if you go to like a con, literally every single person on any panel ever, let me go ahead and spoil every single panel, be yourself. That's what everyone's going to say.
Yeah, you do, man.
Everyone's going to say, don't try to be someone else. Be yourself and embrace who you are. And that's what's going to resonate with people. And it's like, of course it is. I mean, it's not bad advice. It's just cliche advice. It is overwrought advice. Like for a lot of people, I have a feeling when it comes to their identity and being you, it's like, that's a completely abstract way of thinking. Like, who, I don't even know who I am. Like,
right.
You know, like that's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
But
it's not like actionable advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in this, I feel like always sounds like very boring advice, but frequently what we've told people to do is like, try and like set a time limit. Be like, for the next, like every Friday for 10 Fridays, I'm going to upload a video.
Right.
And then like maybe at the end of those 10 Fridays, you're like, you know what? It was way more work than I thought. And it's turning out that it's stressing me out more than it's bringing me joy.
Right.
And it's like, maybe what you've discovered at the end of those 10 Fridays is like, maybe I was glamorizing this idea a little bit.
Right.
Like maybe it looks really fun from like a finished, polished product perspective,
right?
But maybe the actual like kind of grind that can go into it, like maybe it's not what I was thinking it would be,
right?
And that's okay. Like that's a great thing to learn.
That's the thing, is that that's good to learn, because I think what happens with so many people is like, yeah, like we do suggest like a schedule, like that's how we, you know, that works for us.
It does work
and,
for us,
you know, yeah. That like keeps you committed to like making new stuff or whatever. And like I would say, especially starting out, you know, I like a schedule, because like otherwise immediately what will happen is you're going to, you know, you'll say every Wednesday, or you'll have like an idea. You might put up a video and then you put up another one like a week later. And then the next week you're like, I'll just do it next week. I don't know. And then next week, never.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. But the problem is, then that's why we also said set a time limit, especially when you're starting out, because like the other thing that could happen is you might say, okay, I'm just going to do, yeah, every Wednesday or every Friday or whatever. And the hard thing to realize in the moment is how many Fridays there are.
It's like they just keep coming.
Like, you just say every Friday, but like the thing you don't realize is like the Friday, like how many Fridays that is.
Yeah.
Like, did you just commit yourself to a lifelong commitment to Fridays forever? Like, and then, because no matter, you know, something's going to come up, especially if you're not used to doing it.
Right.
And it's going to, you're going to feel bad for doing it, for missing. That's the other thing. People feel so guilty early on for missing. Even when you're getting like, you know, and hey, if you're getting views on anything at all, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
It is.
You know, and I see so many people that have like, you know, 100 to 200 views, maybe less, and they'll come on after missing a week. They're just like, apologize. People are like, I'm so sorry. I missed last week. This is what was happening. Oh, so that's my other piece of advice. Don't apologize.
Especially like when you figure that maybe someday you do make it big, and if all of your videos start with, oh, I'm so sorry, it's been a while since I uploaded, then like as people are going back and like binging all of your stuff, they're just gonna see, I'm so sorry, it's been a while, I'm so sorry, it's been a while. It's like, I'm binging,
right?
It's been no time at all.
Exactly. Like, you're like, the thing you do when you apologize, like, you're reminding people that you messed up, and, you know, like they probably, like, you're giving them a reason to be upset,
right?
They probably weren't,
right?
You know,
right?
Maybe, you know, if you've got 5 million subscribers and you come out every single Monday and people depend on your content and you missed a month, maybe you should apologize then.
Right. I think
or give an explanation.
There's different levels of it. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, because I think that there have been times where like I was sick or something, and you had to host the video for me, and people were like, oh, I hope Ben's okay. And it's like, that adds up, because you're pretty used to seeing me every other Thursday,
right?
You know, sitting in the chair or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can certainly understand that. But to tie it back to New Year's resolutions, and maybe this is where I'm immediately and promptly not following my advice. Maybe we can sort through what I should actually be doing. But I have definitely hit like a wall, specifically like with Instagram. And I think I talked about this before,
yeah.
Where it's like Instagram is probably my favorite social platform. It's like the one that I use probably the most, like, side by side as a I don't even know if this would be the right way to describe it, like a business tool, as well as just something I use to keep in check, in touch with my friends.
Yeah.
So like, I don't follow a whole heck of a lot of people, and the ones I do follow are mostly like people that I do know personally, like in our area, and like people that under different circumstances, you know, from a world perspective, you know, I would go out and have a beer with or something. So the way that I'm consuming it is very much just as a way for, you know, friendships,
right,
and stuff like that. But then on the flip end of that, it's like there's a big part of me that almost wants to use it as like, as a creator, in a sense, air quotes around that. I don't know if that's really the right way to describe it, but like, it feels like a really nice toe in the water towards moving towards kind of like what you have with your like weekly vlog,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, what if I were to use it and actually have like a little bit of a function, and there could be a little bit of like expectations attached to it. And like, there's like, it doesn't have to be telling a story necessarily, but some level of like a formula involved to where you know what to expect from me.
Like, what is the purpose of your, you need like a mission statement for your,
exactly. And right. I think that like, not everyone needs this. I'm not saying that this is how everyone needs to treat it. I'm saying that it is a personal goal of mine to treat it that way.
Right.
Like, I think that that could be something that would be a fun creative endeavor for me, and might make it so that like I can start maybe like communicating and sort of developing like a little bit of like whatever my voice would be. What does it look like to be myself on Instagram? Mm-hmm. Maybe is answering that question a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I go back and forth with this on my own Instagram a lot because, you know, I like showing, I like most of the pictures I show or post on Instagram have more to do with like my family or my kids or my wife or, you know, it's the Instagram, if you were to like line it up next to, yeah, like my personal vlog versus the Super Carlin Brothers channel, it probably looks a lot more like an extension of the vlog than it does Super Carlin Brothers.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
But at the same time, like I understand Instagram is like a big platform and a lot of people probably follow me on there because of Super Carlin Brothers.
Right.
And so I'm like, shit, like, is the point of this to just be an extension of like SCB? Should I be like primarily be using it to like post and like, you know, promote the channel? Should it be like fandom stuff? Should it be like new merch I got? Or I don't know. Is it like, should it be like behind the scenes from The Office? Stuff like that.
It could be a little bit of everything. And I think,
yeah.
I think that's so here's maybe like part of my curiosity, if you want like a small peek behind the curtain, is like one of the things that I feel like a lot of people that I talk to specifically about the channel, the feedback that they tend to give me is like, oh my gosh, I love the Jay versus Ben's. Like, it's so much fun to watch you guys just like riff with each other, just be funny, just like, you know, like maybe not so scripted, a little more whatever the like whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, free form.
Today's Jay vs. Ben is gonna be I think hilarious, by the way, because you'll have already seen this, maybe, listener. We one of our friends in Orlando went to Universal and they went to the Honeydukes store and bought one of every piece of candy from the Harry Potter like candies.
Yes.
And mailed it to us, and we're going to eat all of them.
All of it.
So I think even just taking a bite from everything is going to create a sugar rush that will result in some very humorous footage.
Yep. Very giggly, very laughy.
Yeah, I think it's so.
Very hyper.
But we will know what you should spend your money.
Exactly. Because it is a dilemma when you go there. It's like, there's so much cool stuff, but then you almost have like overload and you like walk out of the store and you're like, man, I don't know what happened. I didn't even buy anything.
Yeah, that has happened to me before.
Yeah. So we're trying to solve that problem.
Anyway, you were on.
So what I think is interesting about that, though, is that especially even with people who tune into the pop, it seems like what people have started to like is maybe getting to know us a bit more on like a personal level, like maybe having a better idea of, beyond the fact that these guys clearly love like Disney and Pixar and Star Wars and Harry Potter and Marvel, like they are also people like with like lots of other things that they're into and like lives, and they've got you know, whatever. And so I've wondered with the Super Carlin Brothers channel, because even when we created it, we didn't create it with the goal or objective of it being covering fandom content.
Right.
Like, I've always wondered, if that had been our goal from the beginning, would we have called it like The Theorizers, or like, actually a channel.
I think
already,
that is. But, yeah, like we... Yeah, you're right. Like, you would we have ever called it Super Carlin Brothers if we knew what it was going to be about eventually?
No, probably I don't think not. So. Because you would have tried to come up with a clever name that'd be like, you know, the Disney Bros, or like something.
Right, exactly. Like, as it were, Super Carlin Brothers was initially like a playoff Super Mario Brothers.
which I feel like very few people have ever connected the dots.
Yeah, people haven't really figured that out. Yeah. So there you go. That was initially a little
bit of SCB lore for you.
A little bit of SCB lore for you. And we actually had like a Mario poster on my early set.
I remember that early too. On.
I think I was so into like Nintendo and specifically like Mario games when we started it.
Uh-huh.
Like, this was like, it consumed so much of like my free time, because I had a lot more free time back then.
Right. I get you. Yeah.
Everyone is as excited about this. They're going to get it, and we'll probably talk about it a lot. Who knows? Yeah.
Right. We'll discuss lots of Nintendo.
Yeah. Nintendo stuff will be big.
Which we don't cover.
Yeah, not really.
At all.
There was some, we had like the gaming channel and we did like Pokemon stuff and things, but yeah.
True. But so anyway, I feel like a lot of what I'd like to do or feel like there is potential to do, and maybe even with popcorn culture, this will be another step in this particular direction. But it's like the want, the desire to see like, what if we did a Jay versus Ben that wasn't fandom related, but it was like Jay versus Ben, here's a ridiculous challenge that we came up with. We were both given limited resources. How well are both of us able to tackle, handle, approach the given challenge with what we've been handed?
Yeah.
So like the example I always give is like, we have the James River is near us, and on the James River, there's a particular like section of rapids called Balcony Falls. And this has always been something where I've been like, it would be so fun if like we had a challenge to see who could build a better raft to to go down Balcony Falls.
The problem that, I mean, it would be fun and almost certainly we would crash.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Ben, it's hard to go down Balcony Falls in a proper boat.
No, I've gone down Balcony Falls in like an inner tube before.
Also hard.
Well, I mean, I guess hard to the tune of it can be intimidating.
Hard to the tune of it's very easy to crash and possibly hurt yourself. And if we're bringing craft to Balcony Falls, it's not like you just pull up to it. You gotta
you'd
have to transport everything to the fall, which is not like, close to an inlet.
Well, I understand that. I mean, and this doesn't have to be what we do. This is just an example.
Okay.
So we're just talking hypothetically here. Mm-hmm. No need to get, like all riled. It's all right. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I think that, the idea, the backing to this idea would basically be, this is a challenge that has nothing to do with anything that we're already doing. Like, it would just be interesting. It would just be fun. It would probably be hilarious to watch, what we came up with, to watch the GoPro footage facing the sheer panic stricken face as we were approaching this rapids,
right.
The drone shot overhead,
mm-hmm.
as we're entering the, the funnel, so to speak,
yeah.
The point of no return.
Right.
So I think that all of that to me sounds like that could be a lot of fun, to be along for the ride on. And it's kind of a different way to get out and maybe even leave the set behind a little bit and sort of see where that could go.
Right.
So that would be a transition. And so to tie that back to why I'm talking about it, it's almost if I were to bring a little bit more of my own personality, who I am beyond the SCB set to an Instagram and kind of let people get to know me in that way, then maybe it helps shorten the distance between their expectations of maybe what you're seeing on the SCB channel and what you're seeing on my Instagram and what you might expect out of it.
Okay. Well, then here's my advice for you.
Okay.
Because before I did the vlog, before I started that over 3 years ago. I can't believe how fast that went.
What was the first episode? The Beer Mile?
The Beer Mile.
I'm pretty sure we had drone footage that day.
Oh, that first one, we had GoPro footage from we had drone footage. We had iPhone footage. I had my brand new camera. Yeah, there was all sorts of fun stuff happening in that vlog.
Yeah, set the bar high.
Yeah, set the bar nice and high. It was real fun. I'm really happy with the way that one came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice and early on. But before that, before I did it, what I started doing was a lot of Instagram stories every day.
Okay.
Because I was this would sort of be my precursor. Can I keep it up at all the time? Because, the thing about if you're doing a daily vlog or a weekly vlog or something, you have to be filming. You pretty much have to have the camera with you at all times.
Right, right.
And the great thing about stories in particular is that you can post them and, even if it doesn't have anything to do with Super Carlin Brothers or the way people perceive you already, it's just gone in 24 hours anyway.
It's
just
true.
Gone.
It's
they
true.
Just expire, and that's great. And it was I think that was, I had a lot of fun doing that. And that was sort of what led me into doing the vlog. I was okay, I get it. These are the kind of things I can do, the sort of things I can film. And I don't know, it was a fun little challenge, and it was, all just about our regular life, not so much about, fandoms particularly. Of course, some stuff.
But finds its way there.
Its way there because, I spend a lot of time at work or at the set or, we're genuinely interested in all the stuff anyway. So, every now and then you're going to get Harry Potter or Star Wars or whatever out of the vlog as well. You have been Disney World trips and Harry Potter trips and things like that.
Right.
There's a glimpse behind the curtain into our regular lives. But that was, I think, that was the way I eased into doing the vlog, was I started with stories because it was you know what? This is a great way to try it because lots of people can see it, but also it goes.
There is something nice about stories in that manner where it's there is sort of a lacking sense of permanence or always attached to it where it's even if I did something that's mildly embarrassing or whatever, it's it does go away.
Yeah.
That's handy.
Yeah.
That's handy. So anyway, I would say that that's and maybe to call it your seasons, your vibes, is not necessarily posting to Instagram every day, which is what I want to say. That's almost the challenge I want to impose on myself for 2021 is 365 photos go.
Boom.
What could you come up with? Could you become a good photographer this year? There's a whole bunch of skills that you can apply to it where it's where I always think to myself, hey, it'd be a great idea to bring the GoPro on today's mountain bike ride, but I'm already running a little late, I'll get it next time.
Yeah.
This is almost that motivation where it's I know I wanted to have GoPro footage of this ride. So I charged it last night and I packed it in the car this morning.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go.
Man, I can't tell you like how many times I've had that exact thing for mountain bike rides, because like I've got a GoPro, but I don't have like any of the associated parts to right. like attach it to my handlebars or like my chest or my helmet or anything. Like I think we have them somewhere at the office. I know at some point we bought a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but then I'm like, it might have been for the old model GoPro. I don't know. And I'm always like, this would be such great stuff for the vlog because it's like a really cool thing we're doing and it's like really cool footage. But I don't have the stuff, or the micro SD card or something. I'd be like, we're constantly misplacing. They're like these tiny little memory cards, and you're like, oh, it's never with the GoPro, or something's going on.
It's always something.
It's always something.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's, so I guess that's what it comes down to, though, is that like, yeah, more Instagram on purpose means more intent. And like, that's actually that, like when it boils down to it, the vlog channel that I've always wanted to make has always been called like Live on Purpose.
Uh-huh.
And the whole idea would literally just be like, I feel like frequently I'm not living on purpose. Like I'm not like living, and maybe this is even defeating its own purpose a little bit, but like I'm not living in the moment, you know, like I'm thinking about other things instead of like really being like present where I am and like taking it in to its fullest extent. And I think a lot of times that like, if I felt like my goal was to help take whatever I'm doing, turn it into like a fun, compelling story, and like really focus on it, like by like quite literally with a camera, that almost will help me internalize moments better, like celebrate things more, you know, like be more excited about just being where you are because you're there.
Right.
And like, I think that capturing that magic and even trying to summon it from myself is sort of like the goal that I desperately want to.
There's so many times I feel like when we're having these conversations, or even just when we're off mic, where I feel like you have this problem justifying to yourself going and having fun for the sake of it, like without like as if that would be really selfish or really frowned upon or something. Like if we were there and we were filming and it was for a project, like that would be okay. Then it'd be allowed to have, then I'd have like an excuse to have fun.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's,
but if I just went out and did this, I don't know if I could justify that. I could probably be mowing my lawn, or I could be something else.
It's always mowing the lawn, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know, everything comes back to mowing the lawn, Ben.
No, it's true. It's true, though. And it's actually been a bit of a quest for me this year. So like one of the big things that I've been doing through 2020, and the way that I've like, you know, sort of handled some of the big stuff happening in the world, is just going to a counselor.
Yeah.
And I think that it's interesting because it was sort of like, by going and talking to this person, it was sort of like, how do I handle some of this like big stuff that's going on or whatever. But a lot of what I have learned through these visits is sort of this idea that, and I've talked about it on the pod before, but maybe not in like so much depth, that I'm like a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And this is the type of thing where it's like, oh yeah, like they're a people pleaser, you know, like whatever. It doesn't feel like that big of a deal. But I would say, and I was trying to explain this to you the other day while we were having lunch together, it's like, I would almost say that it like verges, like the way that this characteristic of my personality applies and how it affects my life is like almost verging on like what it would be like to be like an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not like a small, like little quirk of my personality.
Right.
It is like a problem that affects my like ability to accomplish my own personal goals.
Right.
Or like affects the way that I make like major decisions in my life.
Right.
And so I think like exactly like what you're just saying, like, you know, it's like you'd feel guilty for going and doing something for just like enjoying it yourself. It's like that is in a lot of ways underlying what's going on with me, where it's like, I would be, it would feel like if I inconvenience anyone's life by enjoying myself, then like, that's something that I have to like grapple with the reality of the fact that I have inconvenienced somebody. And it was for what? For my own enjoyment? Like, no, sir. Can't have that.
Right.
Like, it's easy for me to forego my own enjoyment of something if it would be inconvenient for someone else.
Right.
And I think that when it comes down to it, maybe this is that line I don't know how to walk, is it almost always feels to me like if I were to choose an activity, to choose a commitment that might require like resources or time or whatever the case may be, that it's going to impact some
right
by way of me having done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think you're absolutely right. Like, I try to package everything into like work, because if it's work, then it's like, it's justifiable.
Right.
Like people can understand why you have to do work, and people might even be like, ah, work's tough, you know, but like I get it. You know, you have to make sacrifices for work.
Yeah.
But like, you don't have to make sacrifices for enjoyment.
Yeah. No. You don't have to.
It feels like a weird way to look at it.
I think this is because I've thought about I've like had the like similar thoughts before. We're like, okay, how can I justify doing this? Like, I don't think I suffer from people pleasing to the degree which you do.
Yeah.
And it is like a weird thing.
Right.
Like, how could that be a problem? Like, Ben's just really helpful. He's just like really selfless all the time. And it's like, that's like, of course, like, you know, so those are good qualities. It's not like bad to help people.
Exactly.
So it's hard to feel how you could be doing something wrong. But like, this is a real thing. Like, there's that is out there. Like, I remember early on, like at points when I was dating my wife, Beth, before we were married, like I would have these conversations and I'd be like struggling with like trying to put into words like a personality quirk or something.
Uh-huh.
And it basically was this almost exact phenomenon where I was like, I don't know, like, I wish you were more selfish. You know?
Oh, sure, you know, sure.
Like, is that what I'm trying to say? Like, that sounds like, you know, like, no one ever says that.
Right, like, right, right, like, yeah. Like, but, what a weird thing to ask for.
Yeah, but a weird thing. Like, yeah, just, yeah. So, Ben, maybe I want you to be more selfish.
That would please you?
Yeah, exactly.
That helps me. That helps me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good phrasing.
Yeah.
Good phrasing.
Yeah. It's unlucky to be superstitious, you know, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's a... So anyway, yeah, well, good luck with that. So is your like theme or your resolution just like photography or Instagram or pictures or?
Well, I think that's the thing is that I think for me, it feels like there's a sense of a gateway involved there where like, I feel like if I can apply this like underlying practical purpose to it, at the very least, it helps me feel like it's a stepping stone towards prioritizing things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I understand that probably in the scheme of things there, like what I'm doing is taking the extreme long way to getting to a place where it's like, what I'm trying to do is do things that I want to do.
Right.
And it's like, I think for anybody to be like, don't you just do that anyway? And it's like, the answer to that question is no.
Right.
I do not do that anyway.
So this is like a mental exercise I have like practiced before is like, sometimes when I'm like trying to justify doing something, like I will do the same thing. I'm like, oh, well, actually it's work. So it's okay if I actually do this.
Sure.
Like I will rationalize that to myself, but then I will catch myself doing it and I'll be like, I am lying to myself right now. Like, no matter what I say, I am tweaking the circumstances so that I get what I want.
Okay.
Like, I can mask it under the veil of work. But the fact is, I'm still doing it. Like, I'm just straight up lying to myself that the reason I'm doing it, like, that it's for work. Like, sure, maybe it is, but I have contrived the situation as such so I can do what I want.
Okay.
It's like I'm lying to myself that I... And like, is that the case? Because you went through a lot of effort to justify it. And like, could I have just done it anyway? And it's just like, yes, you could have.
Right,
like,
right, right. Right. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, it's like the lie isn't necessary.
Right, like, exactly. It's like you are lying to yourself to make you feel better about it. But like, if you can catch yourself lying, guess what? Lying's no good either.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good mental exercise. Let me ask you just so we can apply like an example to that. Like, I know one of the big things that you've been doing through the season of The Mandalorian is like getting up on Friday mornings, like before work and watching the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like first thing, like could that, or could we use it as an example of maybe something like this where it's like, yes, there are other things I could be doing around the house on a Friday morning, but I need to watch this potentially for work because we could cover it in an episode. So like, I'm going to spend 40 minutes sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. Friday morning at 7:30 watching the show.
Right.
Like, but like at the end of the day, it's like, there's nothing wrong with getting up early and watching a show that you like because you were looking forward to it and watching it.
Yeah.
Could that be an example?
That could be an example. You're right. I do watch it. Like, I think if it weren't for work, I would probably just try and wait until night.
Sure.
The problem is that I want to watch it with Beth.
Okay.
And so it's like, sometimes I'm just up earlier anyway.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you have to beat Luke up. You have to do it like, because the twins are like crawling around, like they're not really aware of what's happening on the screen, but like
they're not worried about the spoilers for them.
Yeah, they're not worried about the spoilers. They're not really taking in any sort of like violence or anything or like what the monsters look like.
Okay.
But Luke would sit down and I feel like he's probably a little more violent than is okay for a 3-year-old just yet. It's like a few steps above the old Daniel Tiger.
Right. Yeah. Just barely, but yes, it
barely.
Is.
Yeah. You know, if Daniel Tiger is like if the Mandalorian is a 10. it's not a 10. You know, if Dana Tiger's a 2, Mandalorian's like at least a 3. No, at least, yeah, at you least, know, on least. The violence yeah, scale.
Exactly. So, how many crate dragons are there in Daniel Tiger?
Yeah, I would say there are craft dragons.
Close.
You know, they make a dragon out of crafts.
I think we're in the same ballpark. Right.
So there's dragons in both. So there's that.
Right.
And actually, it's so funny you bring up the crate dragon one. That is the only like part of any Mandalorian episode Luke did manage to see, because like we were towards the end of the episode of season one.
Oh, I see.
Of like episode one, season two. Sorry. And it was like, oh, we only have 10 minutes left, but Luke is like screaming up there. We'll just come down. It'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then you come down, it's like, you know, this big fight against this giant dragon. He was just like, oh, I want to watch the thing with the dragon again. And you're like, well, probably we're not going to do that.
So he thought the dragon was cool.
Oh, I mean, I'm not concerned about whether or not he's going to like it.
Right, certainly. Yeah. Any son of mine.
I know. Certainly, lightsaber fights and lasers and dragon, you know, it's all cool. It's just like, maybe it's not quite appropriate just yet.
I understand. I understand. Good call.
So there you go. Anyway, I see we're approaching the hour mark here, but I feel like we veered into this resolution Instagram topic a while ago. And I will share you what I've been contemplating.
Of course, I should have asked.
Yeah. That's okay. I think we got off on it. But so something I feel like that I've been trying, I feel like I've been grappling with it for like the last couple months or so. And maybe I don't know if like something has like flipped over that has like increased the amount of negativity or something. But basically, I think I really want to focus on like positivity.
Yeah.
Like that's like my season one theme for 2021. It's just like how can I focus on being like a more positive, like having a more positive impact on the, and I don't mean like you know, like via like donations or volunteering or something like that. Like those are good things,
I'm yeah, great sure,
things
sure,
to aspire
sure.
to, but I mean just like be like encouraging positivity from myself, and like how can I best encourage positivity out of others, and just like a more positive, like I don't know, like outlook from like how can I encourage positivity?
Yeah,
that is that's my goal, if you will.
Right.
Going into 2021, like as an example, I feel like, you know, maybe this is super obvious about Twitter. People would probably say this is all Twitter's for, but like I would get on Twitter and it would just like bum me out. Or like if you see people like saying how much they're enthusiastic about something, you were kind of talking about this earlier, and other people will just comment and be like, that's terrible, these are all the reasons you shouldn't like that. It's just like, oh my God, it drives me crazy. Like
yeah.
I hate it. And I understand I'm being somewhat negative right now, but I mean, it's so, I don't understand. Like if you like something, that's fine. If you know, if you like this, like you don't need to go out of your way to tear other people down, especially if all they're doing is being enthusiastic about something.
Right.
And like, I don't know like how to address it, but it honestly feels like a very mild form of like bullying almost. Like
I understand what you're saying completely. You know, it's like, I think you're right. I mean, I think bullying is probably not even the wrong word. I think that there's a lot to be said for like, there are so many things that people like, and I feel like especially the world that we've kind of come up in, like mm-hmm. we talk about Disney, for example, and like Disney, I would say at least, and hopefully I'm not speaking completely too blanket statement-y, but like, I feel like in general, like it's positive content.
Yeah.
Like it's not things that are supposed to like rip you down or like anything like that. Like
right.
it can usually be celebrating the characters. And, but then at the same rate, like Disney's like a major corporation.
Yeah.
And
maybe the most majorist.
And it is like, you kind of simultaneously have this odd thing happening with like the Disney company where they're this like Goliath in terms of like business and maybe yeah. like
in the entertainment industry and like so much media that comes out.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it can be kind of hard to separate like how you might feel about like the Disney corporation and it's like, you know, shadowy skyscraperiness.
Right. Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, versus the movie Moana or something.
Right.
You know, where it's like, oh my God, like what a fantastic movie. Like what, how fun, like
yeah.
makes me happy to watch it. And I think that like those can be the types of things that can be really, really tricky, because it's like, I want to just be able to like love this and enjoy it. And like, I don't want to have to be taking into consideration, like I'm okay with throwing heat if it needs to be thrown, like because there was a bad practice or because people were mistreated. Cause like those are important things to
yeah,
stand up for.
For sure.
But it's that is where, and especially with what we do, it's a very, very hard, you know, like middle line.
Yeah.
Where it's hard to remove the commentary about, like, by supporting this, are you supporting that? You know, and those are, it's hard to pick the pieces apart, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to go give a good big old shout out to our buddy, Isaac, who runs the channel Watso Videos.
Yes.
He's probably the greatest example of someone who is just like in a beacon of positivity.
Absolutely.
On the internet. And he just talks about Disney content. It's just like, just be like, you like that? Great. Be enthusiastic about it.
Right.
And it's just like, you're right. There's things you can, I think there's like a real, I don't know, like this, like determination to tear stuff down or to like hate stuff sometimes. And just like, like make sure like there's this, you know, people, there's a phrase out there called like, you know, like your silence is death or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, there are situations, sure, where that is absolutely true. Where like your failure to say something probably speaks louder than your words. But like people seem to have internalized this on every single minute level of it. It's like, oh, did I not mention how I hate apple pies on the internet yesterday? People must think I love apple pies. I shall tear apple pies down.
Right.
I cannot stand for a world where people think I like apple pies or that I even stand, you know?
Yes.
It's like, no one stops.
I think and that's the thing is that I think it promotes divisiveness because what you end up with then is people who are standing on either side of a chasm and you're digging a greater space between those two people. Whereas I think that by celebrating ideas, by being excited, by being positive, like you're saying, I think those are the types of things that can like help bring people together. It's like, it's like, yes, there are differences between us, but also there are similarities between us.
I think,
and how much better are those?
I think that in particular is where it like gets to me so much. Cause I think what I really like about fandoms in particular, and like one of the things I think, you know, we're striving for here with like what we do is like, it doesn't really matter where you come from in life. Everyone can like, you know, a Marvel movie together.
Yes.
And you can like have, you know, different opinions about that Marvel movie or whatever. Like you can disagree about points or what was good or what was bad or whatever. But if you're just like tearing people down for liking things that you also proclaim to like, then I don't just, it just feels very like toxic, I guess. Not to use too buzzword.
I know. It feels to me like maybe like you've lost the point of it a little bit.
Right.
Like you've gotten so caught in the weeds about how you want to enjoy this. And it's like I said earlier, it's like, I never take issue, especially, I mean, well, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, but like the way that you enjoy something, it is perfectly okay if you enjoy it differently.
Right.
Like, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, if you love it, then perfect. If The Phantom Menace is your favorite Star Wars movie, like incredible.
Right.
Like that is so like great. I love that you can sit down and watch that movie and be on the edge of your seat and be excited and have like those hair raise moments. Like that is all that matters because I know that like, I know where that applies for me. Like I know the moments where like I can't wait for a scene to happen because of whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, like when Finn in The Force Awakens shoots the first TIE fighter and him and Poe have that moment.
Right.
Where they're like,
Did you see that?
You know, it's like, that's like, it's just, it makes me happy. And it's like, that is like, I love that you have that in a way that is, and I'm perfectly okay with the fact that it's not, that maybe that moment is not your moment, but you also have moments.
You have moments.
So
there you go.
We'll leave it there. I think
that's
a good spot.
Try and just be positive.
Be positive. It's a good thing to.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Well, guys, we want to thank you so much for entering this new year with us. We're so excited for everything that the Pop is going to have happening in 2021. We are currently sitting in the space where our video portion of the set, so you can see us talking into the microphones.
Right. Oh, imagine how exciting that will be.
Extremely riveting stuff.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. You'll be able to see our clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe Ben will get super fashionable.
Maybe, or maybe he already is.
Maybe I already am. And you can let me know and you can be positive about my current sense of fashion and I'll be excited to see that.
Yeah.
So we have a lot on the way for 2021. I think it's going to be a huge year for the Pop and we're just so excited that you guys are along for the ride. If you guys would like to support us over on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. If you have any feedback on the episode, you can either email that to popcornculture pop culturepod@gmail.com, or find us over on Reddit, where we're building like a happy little community of people.
The Reddit's so fun.
The Reddit is so fun.
Oh man, yeah, I posted a picture of Buckets Blakes and myself over there the other day. I mean, I think it was maybe the most upvoted thing we'd had, certainly in a while, but the comments were so funny. And like, so much of it was about my appearance in 2010. And I was like, I don't think I look that different. But then, you know, like I'm looking at it, I'm like, my jeans were a lot baggier. I don't know where those shoes came from. Am I wearing two undershirts? Okay. My hair is down. You know,
so fancy,
whole different me.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah. So if you need any other reason, if you need any excuse, you know, I'll give you the excuse to go check out the Reddit. Just go find that picture of me and Buckets Blakes from the Harlem Globetrotters.
It'll be perfect. But guys, otherwise, until next week,
pop, pop.